Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your presence here. And because you're here, Lord, we're going to be enlightened by your Spirit. We're going to be touched by your Spirit. And Jesus, we just believe that you're here. Holy Spirit, we believe that you lead us and guide us. And those even who are watching online, Lord, I just thank you that you're speaking into their hearts tonight. Jesus, you're our healer. You're our provider. You're everything that we need. You're our source of life. And we thank you, God, that your life is available to us. And in faith, Lord, just we rest in your promises, Lord. We just rest in your promises in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. God is good. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, but before we get there, I'm going to read something out of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." For years, I've been quoting this, that I have favor in the sight of God, in the sight of man. I have favor. I used to, when I worked in the shipyard, and that's been years and years and years and years ago, over 25 years ago. But I used to quote this. I just, you know, when I go into work, I'd say, "I have favor with God, and he causes me to have favor with man." So everywhere I'd go, "I have favor with God. And he causes me to have favor with man." And you know, it's just been interesting recently. I've had two instances where in my life, God is just, the favor of God has just been evident in me. And I have a friend, I'm not going to mention his name, but a friend called me up and he was talking to me and going through some things. And this is a pretty spiritual guy you know, I said, "I called you because, or, you know, just because I wanted to talk and I enjoy talking with you," and so on and so forth. But toward the end of the conversation, you know, God was there and he was you know, we were ministering to one another. And he said this, he said, "You know," because he knows a lot of people. I mean, let's just say he's been around. I've been around, but mainly in Port Orchard, Washington, right? I mean, and I love it here because I'm a pastor. That's where I am. He said, really, because I talked about friends. I said, "Well, you know, you got a lot of friends." He says, "Well, you know, I know a lot of people." He said, "But I got about 8 friends, really, if I think about it. And that's a lot." You know, he said, "That's a lot." He said, "But you're one of them." Now, that may not mean anything to you, but to me, it was like that was a big deal. A big deal. And a couple of other instances where God's favor, it's just, it came through. I was at a memorial service last Saturday, and I got there, and one of the Rhema guys that was one of the leaders of Rhema, he was part of the service, and he said, "We're going to give a testimony of how Sue," which was another pastor's wife, "impacted RMAI." And he said, "Well, I'm going to start out, and then Rod's going to go, and then why don't you go third?" Yeah. I'm thinking, who, me? First of all, thanks for the notice, right? but that's not a problem. But it was just favor. And it's just that God is faithful to his word. And I'm not perfect at this. But when we read that in Proverbs chapter 3, I have been seeking him for a while. And again, it's not my doing right and not doing wrong. But my heart is to do right. My heart is to follow him. My heart is to bless people. And I don't get it right all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But when you do things God's way, you put yourself in a position for favor. Amen? And it's kind of like a man said years ago, he said, you know, it's just amazing. I've been treating my wife a lot better recently, and it's amazing how much better my home life is. Right? Why? Because he was loving his wife as Christ loved the church, and God responded to that. And she responded to that. So all I'm saying is, when you do things God's way, then you get the results that he wants, that you want and that he wants. But you won't get those results if you don't do things his way. Right? You can't be a liar and expect the truth to set you free. But let me say that again. You can't be a liar and expect the truth to set you free. You can't be a thief and expect people to trust you. Right? And God may loves you. God still loves you and all of that. But the reality is there's our part to play in everything. So anyway, Colossians chapter 3. And I've titled this message, Above All. Everybody say, Above All. That means it's the top rung. The top of the ladder. You can't get any higher, right? You can't get any higher. It's the top of the rung. I'll tell you this funny story, and then we'll get into it. But my uncle, years ago, my uncle Matt, and he had two brothers, my dad and another brother, but he was out at our lake property, and let's just say they were very Catholic Irish, and so he'd been, you know, drinking a little bit. But he started to talk to us boys, and he said, you can get your dad up to the point. He's fine until you get him right up to the point. But once you go over that point, you're in trouble, right? And so that was the pinnacle. That was above all. That was the top, right? So look at this in Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 14. He says, but above all these things. And before he talked about putting things off and putting things on and being renewed in the spirit of your mind and all that, he said, but above all, everything, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love. You know, there are times where you have to love on purpose. Let me say that again. There are times where you have to love on purpose. But if we're loving just by our ability to love from a natural perspective, we'll never reach the perfection that God wants us to in love. Why? Even Jesus said this. He said, I'm this new commandment I'm going to give to you. He said that you love one another. It's in John chapter 13. You love one another. And that's cool. I mean, he said that before, and there was other places throughout the Old Testament. He said that. But the difference, the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And these next words is what throws it all over. It says, even as I have loved you. Jesus, who was God, is God, will always be God, right? He said, you love like me. So when he says put on love here, he's not necessarily just talking about you loving out of your own ability or capacity to love. But what he's saying is, you've been born again. You've been filled with the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So you have a different capacity to love. Well, let's talk about love for just a minute. And some of these verses you know, but I just want to reiterate them in your heart. So go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Hallelujah. I'll get there. It says this. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint. In other words, hope here is the confident expectation of what God has promised. It doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, the love of God has been demonstratively poured into you. So you can't say, I can't love, or I don't love, or I don't have the capacity to love. That's not true. Who you are in Christ has made you able to love as He loves. And the reason that you can is because the Holy Spirit's been poured out above all. Ever say above all? Above all, we're supposed to love. Right? Let's look at what love looks like. And many of you can quote this, but I don't want you to quote it. I want you to go to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 4, it says, it's describing love. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. So he said, above all, love. And then this says, this is what love looks like. So I am supposed to emulate and live out and treat you and others and everyone out of this framework. Let's go back and read it again. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Now I want you to put an exercise in that and just listen to this. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, and because He's given me the command to love one another even as I've loved you, then I have that capacity to love in the God kind of love. Just as Jesus did, I can. So this is what I often do, and I'll give you a little testimony of that. But years ago, I had this written, these verses, on 3x5 cards. That was before Post-it notes. And I had them on my bathroom mirror. And I think I had one in the car. But I would say over and over again, I would go to these verses and I would say this. I suffer long and I'm kind. I do not envy. I do not parade myself. I'm not puffed up. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek my own. I'm not easily provoked. I think no evil. I do not rejoice in iniquity, but I rejoice in truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. And God's love in me never fails. What am I doing? I'm personalizing that. But more than that even, I'm renewing my mind in the spirit that God has put on the inside of me. And I'll tell you, this is transformative. You think, well, I have a hard time with people. Or maybe even, I have a hard time with that person. If you do, He said, above all, put on love? How do you put on love? By renewing your mind to what love is and what it does, how it acts and how it seems. Are you getting the picture? So here's the testimony. This was years ago. I mean, this was back before I went to Bible school, right after I got saved. I just started quoting this over myself, time after time after time. It had been about 3 months every day, at least once a day, more likely it was twice or three times a day. I'd be going through these verses. And I'm at work one day, and I'm working next to a guy and doing shift work. In other words, I was on second shift, so you had day shift and you had graveyard, so three shifts. And if you've ever worked shift work like that, where you have two other shifts that are working, your shift is always the best. And the other shifts don't do near what you do, right? So we're there, and my partner that I was working with, he started to talk about an individual on day shift. And I'm like everybody else. It's like, if I can make him look bad, that makes me look better. So my MO would have been to join in, and I began to do that. But he said, and the fellow on day shift's name was Bob, but he said, "Bob, you know, blah, 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 blah." And I almost started to go in to a story and get involved with that. But in the Amplified Version, it says, "Love believes the best of all people." And I went to go like this. And as I'm telling you, I was arrested by the Word of God. And the Word of God in me said, "You can't say that, because love believes the best of every person." So it, well, shut my mouth. He did. But it was because I had been putting on love. I'd been renewing my mind to love. I'd been renewing my heart to try to get to love as He loves. When I first got saved, I got saved during the charismatic movement, and the gifts of the Spirit were a big thing. If you went to a seminar, they were talking about this gift and that gift. And I said, "Lord," this is when I first got saved, it was my heart. It was like, "Lord, You can give everybody else all those gifts. I don't care, but I want Your love. I want to be somebody who demonstrates Your love in a way that will impact them." That was my heart. So this is the routine that I went through. And God absolutely answered that prayer. And it began to change me from the inside out. Is that good? Changed me from the inside out. So good. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And even to this day, and I pray that I'm growing in it and not settling for where I am, but even to this day, I believe the best of every person. And what I mean by that, I'm not blind, I'm not naive, but I can look at somebody who's struggling with addiction, or somebody that has an anger issue, or somebody that, you know, is just out there and you think there's no hope for them. But love believes in the best. And when I'm applying it this way, I believe in the potential of God being inside of that person and changing them forever and ever and ever and ever. I believe in the potential of what God can do and what a life yielded to God looks like. I want to look at a couple of different verses. I just put verse 22 down on the notes, but I'm going to read verse 16 and then we'll go to 22. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to go back to Colossians for just a minute. In chapter 3 and verse 14 it says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Right? Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's so good. So in other words, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'll not love by the limitations of my flesh. That excites me. So it's not that I'm trying to do or don't, I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be who God wants me to be. I'm trying to be the personality of God in the flesh on the earth. Now go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Come on. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now watch this. I believe this means that out of our spirit, again, look at this, but the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said you'll know them by the fruit. This capitalized here. Most people will tell you that if the Spirit, the S is capitalized, that it's talking about the Spirit of God. But I think in this particular instance, it's talking about those who live by the power of the Holy Spirit out of their spirit. Watch this. That we can walk in love. And somebody said this in the punctuation in most versions are love, comma, joy, comma, peace, comma, long suffering, so on and so forth. But somebody said this, and I like it. They said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of love comes joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Right? So what am I saying? I'm saying this, that we need, above all, to say, Lord, help me today. I love you. I know you love me, but help me to walk in such a way that your love is demonstrated through me to others. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. And when I say to others, I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm also talking about the people in the world. I got a phone call today, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it was a fellow, and he was talking about money and his need for money. But by the end of the conversation, he was calling me names and using colorful language that, a preacher doesn't normally hear, although I've heard plenty of it. But watch this. It's like, but God, I still love that man. I prayed for him afterwards, God, that you'll get a hold of him and change him and help him, and because the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love. Above all these things, again in verse 14, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Bond of perfection. We read in Romans chapter 4 that the love of God has been poured into our hearts or shed abroad in our hearts. But out of that love, it's the bond of perfection. I believe that the love of God is what allows us or will help us to walk the way God wants us to walk. Let me do this again. I've got to get back here. I'm trying to get a different version. So, all right, listen to this now. This is the NLT version of Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let me read that again. That's really good. Above all, close yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. How can we, as a church, stay in unity? How can we, as a body of Christ, who we have many different people who have many different beliefs and this one believes that, how can we be in unity even though sometimes we're not in agreement? It's because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Right? Right? In other words, if you believe the rapture is going to be before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end, and you're convinced of that, and you think everybody else is flaky, fine. But is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? If He is, then you're my brother. And I'm required, not required, but I want to love you even as God loves you. And so even with our differences, we can walk together in harmony because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Is that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you are called with one body and be thankful. I love this. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. This speaks so many things to me. One of the things, I think it's the Amplified Version, and somebody said the Amplified Version was the woman's Bible because it had used more words. Watch this. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. Think about that. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. What does that mean? That means if a thought comes to you and it violates the Word of God or it violates the peace that's in your heart, you go, out of here. Right? Or safe. Think about it. You're out of here. Right? Some umpires, I'm a baseball fan, so watching different umpires, some of them get really wound up with their strikes, you know, especially when it's strike three. It's, you know, it's just really dramatic. But for my application of this verse, it's like, okay, God, I need to know and understand in my heart whether what I'm doing is my flesh or my thoughts are of you or whatever. And so what I have to do is listen to my heart and let the peace of God rule. Rule means rule. Yeah. What does that mean? We're not in a kingdom. But imagine you're living in a kingdom and the king's got these rules. And if you don't abide by the rules, off with your head. Yeah. Right? So what do? You follow the rules of the king because he's in authority. Now, I'm glad for God's mercy and his steadfast love, his loving kind. I'm glad for all of that. But the reality is that I'm either letting him rule in my heart or I'm not. What does that mean? That means if I know in my heart what he said, I have to follow what he said, whether I want to or not. Because I'm going to let the peace of God rule, govern me, no matter what. In other words, I may not like you, but I love you. I may want to punch you in the nose, but the love of God constrains me from doing it. Right? I may want to yell at you. I may want to, you know, tell you how ugly and just describe that hell is the place that was made for you because you are absolutely the person that needs to go there. But if I'm letting the love of God rule in my heart, even though my mind, even though my envy, even though my hurt, even though the passion that's inside of me would like to go out after you that way, I've put on the love of God. And the peace of God is ruling in my heart. Hallelujah. Watch this again. This is so good. The peace of God. Let's look at some verses. Go to Psalms. Go back to the Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 29 first of all. Psalm 29 and verse 11. Listen to this. The Lord will give strength to His people. How many have ever felt weak? How many have ever felt like you couldn't go on? How many felt like you can't do it another day? How many have ever felt like, you know? Well, this verse says the Lord will. He will give you strength. Are you His child? Have you been born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? It doesn't say that He might. He said that He will give you strength. Now listen, let's go on. The Lord will bless His people with peace. You see, if you're in turmoil constantly, you haven't really developed the identity of how much God loves you. Because if you had, even though there's turmoil all the way around you, you'd be at peace. Let me just give you the picture of that. Is Jesus sleeping in the back of a boat when the waves were coming in and the water was sloshing around? So these weren't huge boats. It's not like He was out of the... I mean, water had to be splashing on Him. And rugged fishermen who knew the sea and were scared spitless. So in the middle of that turmoil, He could be at peace. Why? Because His Father told Him to go to the other side. So if His Father told Him to go to the other side, I got peace. I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And so therefore, I'm not worried about the waves. I'm not worried about the turmoil. I'm not worried about how I feel. I'm not worried about what I see. I'm not worried about what I smell. I have His Word. And I'm letting His Word rule my heart. See, what I'm saying is at times where fear and anxiety and dread come into us, we have to come back to the simplicity of, Jesus, You're with me. Jesus, You're for me. Jesus, You're surrounding me. And I'm going to let that rule in my heart rather than the whirlpool of emotions that are trying to bring me down. Let's look at a couple more. Isaiah chapter 29. Actually, Isaiah 26, I'm sorry. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because he trusts You." That's talking about you and me. It's talking about God. That God, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because he trusts You. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? Well, we can answer that by, are you at peace? Because if you're not at peace, then you're not trusting God. Hello? Yeah, true. Now, it's okay because we all walk through this all the time, but we can't argue with ourselves, well, I'm trusting God, but I don't have any peace. Well, either you're lying or he's lying, and I pick you. And I'm not saying that I don't have compassion for where you're at. I do. But the reality is he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. In other words, I'm going through all this, Lord, but I'm just, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I want to think about Jesus. And I like this too. In the Hebrew, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but somebody I was reading after told me this, that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That word mind, there is no Hebrew word for mind as we think of mind. We think of the mind is the thing that's housed in our skull that our thought processes go through. But they say that he'll keeping him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on him. What is imagination? Imagination is something that you use to picture something as you want it to be. Or you picture something how it might become. You know, the worry is nothing but imagination on fear. What can happen? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? If this one's elected president, if that one's elected president, that will lead you to fear. But if you keep your mind on God and the fact that he loves you and you start to imagine yourself with him, God, you're on my side. God, you're in my car. God, you're in my home. God, you're with my finances. God, you're with my health. God, you're for me. You're with me. This lady, years ago, I heard this testimony. This lady, she was a single mom and had two kids. And had to really struggle. But here's what she did. So, mom, two kids. So, imagine the kitchen table. And here's the mom's plate. Here's the first child's plate. Here's the second. And here's the fourth plate. Every night, she set four plates up. Why? She said, because Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. And she had testimonies of where she had no food and the cupboards were bare. But she said, my God will supply all my needs. So I'm setting the table with four plates because Jesus will provide. And she'd hear knocks on the door. Hey, we just felt led to bring you over some groceries. Thank you, Jesus. See, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose imagination, just think about it, meditate on it. Just how nice would it be if Jesus walked into the room? How wonderful would it be if you had a face-to-face with Almighty God, if you were visited by angels? How nice would that be? And the fact is that you can have a face-to-face with him anytime you want, because he said that we could come before his throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Imagine yourself there, and peace will be the result. Isaiah 57, verse 19. Isaiah 57 and verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. Are you struggling? Are you struggling physically? Are there some things going on? You know what the Lord's yelling at you? Peace. 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 Why? Because the fear and anxiety is feeding whatever is hurting you. He said, I'll heal them. I'll heal you. Peace. Peace be still. Are you doing all right? Can you stand a few more scriptures? Well, let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to read a few in John. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the God of peace that passes all understanding in Philippians will guard your heart and mind. Boy, I need peace, I need peace, I need peace. Jesus already gave it to you. It's not due, it's done. If you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking controlled and ruled by love, then you have peace. You just have to access it. And sometimes to access it, especially when you're in a period where things are tough and it seems like everything's coming against you, and you can get, like I've gotten before, why me, and how come, you know, everything bad happens to me, and blah, 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 you know. And it's real, and those emotions are real, and you're in a tough spot. But if you on purpose learn to become thankful, what you'll do is you'll find something to be thankful for. And we all have something to be thankful for. Right? First of all, I'm saved. Second of all, I'm in a body. Second, God has put people in my life I'm so thankful for. I'm thankful that I woke up this morning. I'm thankful that I was able to walk in here this morning. There's so much. There's so much. I've told this story before, but Corrie Ten Boom, I don't, most of you will know who she is, but she was a great woman of God. And she was in her later years, and she was confined to a bed, hospital, you know, type of thing. And she was kind of feeling sorry for herself, and Chuck Smith went to visit her in the hospital, and she was kind of talking, and she, well, you know, and she's spoken all over the world, television, the whole thing. She was a big deal. And Chuck said, she said, Chuck, she said, I can't do anything. I'm useless for the kingdom. I'm, you know, and Chuck said to her, Corrie, can you pray? Oh, yeah, I can pray. I need you to pray for me. In other words, we need to become so thankful that we're even children of the Most High God, and that we have His number on speed dial, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so I can't do anything. Yes, you can. I'm thankful for who I am and who He's made me to be in Jesus' name. Above all, put on love. Did you get something? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you. We glorify you. We declare that you are who you say you are. You will do what you say you will do. And Lord, I thank you for all of those who are watching online and those that are in the room. God, that you'd fill them with a tangible sense of you being with them tonight. Watching online, you're sitting in your easy chair, your recliner, you're watching tomorrow, wherever it is, I'm just asking God to touch you. And I just simply believe He is. He's got you. He'll take care of you. And those in the room, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Only believe. Lord, bless them, keep them. If you don't know Jesus, it's simple, but with all of your heart, say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who came to take my place. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. And God, because you raised him from the dead, I am yours in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! Come on.